Genesis chapter 21, beginning of verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son. For the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the boy. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Previously, We talked about the promise of Isaac in chapters before, and how Sarah laughed, "Will I have the pleasure?" And we mentioned that even Abraham laughed at the promise of a son being born to him through Sarah. And then we talked about the different ways of laughing. We're going to talk about different ways of laughing here today as well. And we mentioned that in that sermon, God had the last laugh, didn't he? Actually, he told Abraham and Sarah that the child that they laughed at of the promise, that they were to name the child. God gave the child the name, and the name he gave him was Isaac. And what does Isaac mean but laughter? God had the last laugh. Well, in Genesis chapter 21, here we see that laughter happen. Here we see this great first sentence. Look at the verb in that first sentence. The Lord visited Sarah. When the Lord visits, there are two ways, by the way, the Lord can visit. He visited the Israelites in Egypt. Good way of visit, to visit, to redeem. Jesus says, you didn't to those in Judah. You don't know the day of your visitation. They did not receive his visit right. God also visits in judgment. Here, it's this verb is pregnant as Sarah becomes pregnant in meaning. It's pregnant with meaning. This is God fulfilling his promise that's tied to that deliverance, which is the way we need to read this entire chapter. This is not about some old woman who's past childbearing years who finally gets a child. This is not about some medical miracle or even a divine miracle. This is a divine miracle that has redemptive import, significance. This is a passage that teaches us about God and how he saves and how we are to respond to that salvation. And so the Lord visited Sarah. And we need to understand about God's promise and then God's fulfillment of the promise. Again, in that first sentence, it says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. If the Lord says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. As the Lord did to Sarah, as he promised. Notice in verse 1, it says that twice. It says he visited her as he said, and he did to Sarah as he had promised. And what did he promise? That she would have a child. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Notice, three times in those two verses it speaks about God fulfilling what he had said he was going to do. He was fulfilling his promise. And then we see what Abraham does in response. Abraham, who laughed, now names his son Laughter. Verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah born to him. Notice, repeating. Could have said just as was born to him, not, but then it says who Sarah had born to him. Isaac. God obeyed. Abraham obeyed what God told him in the naming of the son, and then he obeyed the covenant. Remember what the covenant that God gave to Abraham, he says that all the males born If they're born, they will be circumcised on the eighth day. They will receive the sign of the covenant. Now, Ishmael had the sign of the covenant. He was circumcised on his 13th year, of course, because he was 13 years old. So he had the sign of the covenant. And now, as every male who was bought had the sign of the covenant, but now the sign of the covenant is given to Isaac, who is the promise, one through whom God would bring salvation, through whom God would fulfill his promise to Abraham. He's just not a member of the covenant community. He is a less special member. In summary of what just happened in verses 1 through 4 is mentioned, Moses tells us Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So we saw Abraham's response. Abraham responded to this birth by obeying two commands, naming the son and circumcising his son. Now in verse 6, we see the response of Sarah. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over or with me. Think about that. We talked about laughter. Have you ever been laughed at or laughed over? You know, when we talk about that, we think of something bad. Like comedy, right? Comedy, when someone falls and you laugh. That's not the type of laughter she's talking about. This is the laughter of joy. This is the laughter of promise. This is the laughter. This is the laughing with God in thankfulness to God. That's what Sarah's doing. Look what she said. God has made laughter for me. She's happy. She's joyful. The promise has been fulfilled. And she's calling on people to join with the laughter. This is the laughter of faith. Whereas before, when she laughed, it was a laughter of doubt. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. You see what's going on in these verses? God is emphasizing the fulfillment of his promise. We see the response of Abraham of faith, and we see the response of Sarah of faith. And the response in Sarah emphasizes on the idea of joyful laughter. You could join, hopefully you have had joined, Sarah in her laughter. Because as we've said, and as you know, this birth of Isaac is a foreshadowing of the birth of who? Of Abraham's greater son. And you shall laugh and rejoice at his birth. He's the promised seed. Galatians 3:16. Well, now things change in the story. Now we're going to see another response. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned, celebrating. But Sarah saw. Now, understand, as you read this passage, the words that are used are important. And the words that are not used are also important. What words not used here? In verse 9. What word do you expect? And if you want, shout it out. Ishmael. In chapter 21, you never see the word Ishmael. He's not named. No, he's called what? He's called the son. The son of Hagar the Egyptian. He's called the son of Hagar the Egyptian. Contrast. And we're going to see Paul uses contrast as we go to the New Testament. What was he doing? He was, ESV says what? Laughing. A lot of, depending on your translation, might have the word mocking. Because as you read it, we know that that's what's going on, and that's why some translators. But it's the same word that Sarah used earlier. You see, this is the other way of laughing. The picture here is that the older half-brother of Isaac, is making fun of his younger brother. And in doing that, what is he doing? He's making fun of the promise of God. He's laughing in a mocking way. See, that's the way you ought not laugh at God's redemptive promises and fulfillments. That's what Isaac, that's the contrast between Isaac and the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. I'll use that. So Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. And we look at verse 10, and if we try to put ourselves in this situation or put this situation in our lives in the 21st century, we're confused. How many of you think of you have a husband and a wife, and the husband has his son of another woman, and then this other woman, he marries her, and then she has a child, and they're raising both children, and they get in a fight, their kids, and you say, oh, since you laugh at him, you got to leave. And by the way, we're just going to give you some skin and some things and see if you can survive in the desert. Doesn't fit what's going on here. We ought not use Genesis chapter 21 as a way to deal with family issues. That's not its purpose. No, it's teaching us something. So verse 10. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman and her son. Why? Here's the reason. For the son of this slave woman will not be heir with my son Isaac. The promise, the Abrahamic promise, the Abrahamic blessing is through Isaac, not through the son of the Egyptian woman. And that's why it's important in one sense as we read this passage to see what the son of the Egyptian woman did in verse 9. Verse 9 is so important because verse 9 shows us that he was not looking to the promise of God in Isaac. He was making fun of the promise of God in Isaac. We're going to see here, we're going to see later on, that there are going to be two other brothers, and they're not going to be half-brothers, they're going to be full-brothers, they're going to be twins. And they're going to be separated as well. One will leave off like the son of the Egyptian woman. And Paul will use that as he talks in Romans 8. But here's the point. Yes, Sarah is the one who instigates separation. But it's not because, but it's in agreement with where the son of the Egyptian woman was. He did not want to inherit. He, like Esau later, despised the means of the inheritance. But again, we understand a little bit of humanity here where we can. Look at verse 11. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. You see, he did love both of his children, as we would have expected. But God intervened. You see, it's not just an argument. Sarah says, hey, send this son away. And you could see Abraham maybe fighting, no, I'm going to keep him. But then God said, hey, listen, look at verse 12. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Notice he doesn't even call him by his name. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. And look what he says in verse 12. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Through Isaac shall your offspring. That off the Abrahamic promise. I will make the father of many nations. I will bless those who bless you and curse those. I will make your name great. It's through Isaac. But then he says something in verse 13. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman. Again, he doesn't say Ishmael. Because he is your offspring. There is a sense now of being an offspring of Abraham who gets some blessing. And he does give some blessing. But he doesn't get the eternal blessings. He's going to make a great nation out of him. Do anyone know what name that nation is? What? Arabians. Well, people try and say it Arabians. We're not really sure. The Ishmaelites don't continue today. We have no historical record of them continuing. But he does make them a great nation. But they're not an eternal nation. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took the bread and skin and water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And then what happens? I guess we're not told about the bread, but they ran out of water. And she's about ready to die. Now, there's a sense in which you're saying, hey, Abraham, you could have given him a little bit more. Maybe two skins of water. Maybe three skins of water. But what did God tell Abraham? I will make a nation out of this child. So what does that mean? Is the child going to die in the wilderness of Beersheba? No. Now, I'm not going to critique or not critique Abraham, but there is a sense in which God made a promise, and he just saw God fulfill a great promise by visiting Sarah. And what we read in verses 15 and following is God again providing for the safety of this child, that he would. But again, he comes. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran. We're not going to do a lot on this. God listens, and God, through his angel, provides for the boy, as it's called, or for the son. But now what I want to do is take us to the New Testament and see how we are to understand this. First, I want to draw your attention to just If you want, you can turn to where we're going to end up, which is Galatians chapter 4. But first, I want to reference that God said to Abraham through Isaac, shall your descendants be named. That phrase in Genesis 21 is repeated twice in the New Testament, at least. What first is Romans 9, chapter 7. And he says this, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are of offspring, but through Isaac shall our offspring be named. What's Paul saying there? Paul is saying, in the context of Romans 9, just because someone's born of Abraham genetically does not make them an offspring of Abraham. The heavenly blessings, the Abrahamic blessings that we speak about, are not for ethnic Israel, according to Paul. And proof of that is they're not for the son of the Egyptian woman. Because if they were for those who descend from Abraham physically, then they would be there for the son of the Egyptian woman. And people say, well, but hold on a second. That was Abraham and Hagar. What about Abraham and Sarah? Well, later on in Romans 9, he'll talk about Esau and Jacob. It's through God's promise, through God's sovereign choice. The other place that's used is 11:18, Hebrews 11:18, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. But now I want to draw your attention to what Paul does in Galatians chapter 4. He leans heavily on what is said in our passage in Genesis 21. Now here, the context is Paul, the whole context of Galatians is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the accompanying doctrine that we are justified by faith alone, not by obeying the works of the law, or not by obeying the law. You see, there were what we call Judaizers who were telling these people who came into the church, Gentiles, that they had to obey the Mosaic law to be justified or to be right in God's sight. And look what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Now, this is important. When you see the word law, there are a lot of different ways that it could be used. When we hear law, we think of the Ten Commandments. But the Hebrew word for law, one of the Hebrew words, one important Hebrew word for law is Torah. By the way, Torah could mean the Ten Commandments. Torah could mean the Mosaic Covenant in the commandments. But Torah is broader than that. You know, the division of the Bible is in the Hebrew, is first the Torah. And what's the Torah? Genesis through Deuteronomy. The five books of Moses is known as Torah. So here's what Paul says in Galatians 4:21. Those who desire to be under the law, meaning the terms of the Mosaic Covenant, that's what he means by law there. Those who desire to be under the Mosaic Covenant, do you not listen to what the Torah says, or what we would say, what the Pentateuch says? Because what's he referring to? Well, he's going to tell them what the Pentateuch says, verses 22 and following. He's talking about what's said in Genesis Not what's said in Exodus when the Mosaic covenant and the terms were given. Look what he says. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. So look what Paul's doing here. He's saying, we already know from reading Genesis 21 that the promises come, the eternal promises, the Abrahamic promises, come through Isaac, not through Ishmael. Two different groups of people. Yeah, Ishmael will get some temporal blessings. He'll become a great nation. But he won't receive the Abrahamic promise that we have in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17. Even though he had the sign of the covenant. And then he says this, verse 23. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. You see how he's doing theology from Genesis? He was born in a natural way. He was born in Sarah and Abraham trying to help God out. While the son of the free woman was born through the promise. By miracle. By God fulfilling what he was going to promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. Now, this word allegorically, this is not allegory that we mean, but this is typologically. This is, he's trying to tell you, this is the way you can look at these two sons. Now he's talking about the women, though, to who the sons are connected to. These two women are two covenants. Uh-oh. Paul says these women represent two covenants. The covenant, now let's think about what he so far, we'll see where he goes, but where he said, so he says you have the son that's born of the flesh, and you have a son born of promise. So maybe he's talking about a covenant of the flesh and a covenant of the promise. It would fit with what we've read in Genesis, doesn't it? But then he does a zinger. This is a real zinger. Because if you're a Jewish person and you're reading this, and these were going to represent mountains, what would the Son of Promise represent? You would say, what? Sinai. Right? Look what Paul does. One from Mount Sinai bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. One from Mount Sinai bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Notice what he's saying. If we look back at verse 21, what he's saying is what it says in the Torah, specifically what we have beginning in Genesis chapter 21. What it says in the Torah is that the law that's given at Mount Sinai is a law of slavery. Why is it a law of slavery? Because it's given to a people who are unable to fulfill it. That's why he says that the law that was given later, law that was given give you life, law cannot produce life in those that are dead. You need a supernatural thing going on. So then he says this. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. But now he's going to talk about the new covenant. Remember, two women, two covenants. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Notice what he hasn't gone really to Sarah. He says that Hagar, now Sarah represented, but Hagar represents slavery. She has her children who try to go to the law. But the Jerusalem above is free, corresponds to what he talked about that two women, one of promise, one of slavery. Now he's talking about the woman of promise. And she is, look, Paul says, our mother. Who's he writing to? Christians. Jew and Gentile Christians. I want to say that. Jew and Gentile Christians. I'll say it again. Jew and Gentile Christians. Not all Jews are under slavery. But those who come to Christ, who come to the Son of promise, are free in Him. Verse 27. For it is written, "Oh, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children, the desolate one, will be more than those who are born of one who has a husband." Who's that speaking about? It's an Old Testament passage, isn't it? But who's the fulfillment? The Jerusalem above. Our mother. Verse 28. Now you brothers, these are those who the Judaizers are trying to get to obey the Mosaic law. You now brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Children not born of flesh, but those who are born from above, John chapter 3, born again, sometimes translated, born of a promise. Because we're born in the one who was born from the dead, Jesus Christ. Verse 29. But just as at the time when he who was born according to the flesh persecuted. See, he's interpreting what we read in verse 6 of chapter 21 of Galatians. Remember, he was laughing? He was persecuting. You see, the son of the Egyptian woman were persecuting Isaac. Persecuted him was according to the Spirit, so also it is now. And what he's saying is the Jews, they're persecuting those who are born. But what do the scriptures say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Quoting our passage. And look at the context. This is why the church is separated. Because the Jews of the first century, the Jews of Paul's day who did not come to Christ, are the Ishmaels of his day. And then he says in verse 31, "So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." What I want you to understand is that has always, from before the Mosaic law was given, It has always been that we are justified by faith through grace when we believe in God's promise. Whether it was Abraham, whether it was Sarah, and if you didn't believe, if you mocked what God was doing, then you were cast away like Ishmael. Now, brothers and sisters, that should cause us to rejoice in God's promise. Now, as we saw, if you didn't see the sermon last week, it's on the website, we pointed out that people like Abraham, who believed in the promise, lived messy lives. And at times seemed like they didn't believe or didn't trust enough. See, it's not the amount of trust we have. It's not how good we are in our obedience, but it's the fact that we trust. With that said, you need to be obedient. You need to trust and understand you can only trust. Why? What does Paul say here? This is important. He says in verse 28 of Galatians 4, "Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise." Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe in Jesus and others don't? Because you're smarter? You're better looking? You're worse looking? You're dumber? No. It's because he visited you with the Spirit as he visited Sarah. He gave you a new life. And he's going to give other people new lives. He still has other people he's calling to himself. By the way, this is important. Is it just like someone just walking down the street and all of a sudden you get zapped with new life? No. They have to hear something first. What do they have to hear? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. That's one of the reasons why the church is still here, is to spread that seed. Brothers and sisters, I want you to laugh with God. And I want you to get more people to laugh with God. As Sarah says, others will laugh with me. That's what we want. We don't want them to laugh in a mocking way. We get a lot of that. And sometimes we participate in that, and we should repent from that. But we need to laugh with God because of the miracle that he accomplished in Jesus Christ. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we thank you for the mercy that is ours in our Savior. Father, we thank you that you continue to work in the midst of a sinful, prideful at times people. Father, we thank you that your word speaks to us as we look into it and speaks of the same reality. Father, help us to learn more of this wonderful miracle, the miracle of Christ given, the true Son of promise. As he says in Galatians 3, if we believe in Jesus, if we are in Jesus, then we are Abraham's seed according to the promise. Father, help us to not only preach and proclaim the word of Christ, but help us to live in obedience to it. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.